Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ. I think we're ready to begin, so let us pray together. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege we have of studying Thy Word again together this afternoon. We ask Thee, Lord, to be with us and to bless us. Grant us understanding in Thy Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about Genesis chapter 44. Genesis 44. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first half of that chapter. So today we'll look at the second half of the chapter. And then, the Lord willing, next week we'll go on to chapter 45. So we have the second half. So coming now to the section, verses 16 to 34, where Judah defends Benjamin and offers to take his place. So we begin at verse 16 today. And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found." So in this verse now, as we begin verse 16, we see that Judah responds to Joseph's accusation of theft. Because remember, that's what happened. The stewards of his house had gone after them. He'd gone from sack to sack to sack, from the oldest to the youngest. And when he came to Benjamin's sack, he found the golden cup. So the cup belonging to Joseph. Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, and they fell before him on the ground, again worshiping him, bowing down to him as if he were a god. Of course, they didn't believe that he was a god, but they certainly were respecting him, and they were bowing down for him, which, of course, was again the fulfillment of their dream. And Joseph said unto them, "What deed is this that ye have done? What ye not? Did ye not know that someone as I can certainly divine?" And again, of course, Joseph did not practice divination any more than Benjamin had stolen the cup. But, he's letting them know, "Why did you do this?" Well, of course, he himself was responsible for putting that cup in there. So it is now that Judah responds. And we've already mentioned that it's interesting that Judah is now the speaker. You would expect normally the oldest brother to speak, Reuben, but he doesn't speak. And Simeon and Levi don't speak either. Because now it's gradually we see the picture developing that Judah is the one. And of course we know that Judah is the one that the Messiah came from. Although Judah certainly not without blame in this whole incident as we see. And we'll see that again later on as a reminder. But here, Judah speaks up, and in this verse 16 here, he actually mentions three things. The first thing, Judah recognized that they really had no defense. He said, "What shall we say unto my Lord?" He's accused them of theft. Well, what can we say, how shall we clear? What shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves? There's really no way that they can. Judah knew that they were innocent. He knew that they hadn't stolen that cup, but they had really no defense in light of the evidence. The cup was found in Benjamin's sack. So, what can you do? How can you defend yourself? You say, or Joseph says, "You stole." "No, we didn't." "Well, you say you didn't, but why was my cup in your sack?" So, how can they defend themselves? So, this is the first thing. So, Judah recognizes that they have no defense. And then secondly, Judah admits guilt. And that's an interesting one, because he says, God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. Now, he did not believe that they were guilty of stealing the cup. So when he says, God has found out the iniquity of thy servants, first of all, he admits that they're servants of Joseph. But commentators believe that here he is not referring to the stealing of the cup, but rather that he is referring to the selling of Joseph into Egypt. So this is what the commentators refer to. One of them says this one, God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. And one of the commentators says, but the selling of Joseph, of which Judah was the instigator. So Judah actually was the one that suggested, let's sell him. So, and that you see when you go back to chapter 37. Now, we just looked at those verses earlier, but you see that chapter 37 and verses 26 and 27. Because here we read, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. So it is actually Judah that makes the suggestion, let's sell him into Egypt, let's sell him to these Ishmaelites that are on their way to Egypt. So here he says then, God has found out the iniquity. And the iniquity then is the reference to what they have just done. All right. And then there's a third thing in here as well. And that is the last part. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we, and he also with whom the cup is found. So he offers, in a sense, a total surrender to Joseph, turning their lives over to him. We are my Lord's servants, both we, and he also with whom the cup is found. So all of us brothers, and even the one, the youngest one, in whose back you found the cup. So offering, well, we are your servants. Now Joseph's response in verse 17, and God forbid that I should do so. So Joseph actually does not want what might be called a collective punishment. He says, all right, one of you took the cup. I don't need to punish all of you, only the one who took the cup. So God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. So Benjamin alone was to suffer punishment. As for the brothers, they were free to go to their father. So that's how Joseph puts it. Now remember, this is all really part of Joseph's plan and Joseph's testing of the brother. How will they respond? What will they do? You know, there's still more tests to come, another test to come. But this is what we see now. And in a sense, they have already done well, because instead of just Benjamin coming back, they all went back. Now, the brothers could have said, well, Benjamin, tough luck for you. You know, we're going back to Dad, but you'll just have to go to Egypt. But he didn't do that. You know, so all of them went back. And now they offer, all of us will be your servants. But Joseph says, no, not all of you. You can all go home, except the one in whose sack the cup was found. So what are they going to do now? Because this, again, is a test. How will they respond? Will they say, okay, we'll just go and leave Benjamin here? Or will they do something else? So that's why we say we're still here in the testing stage. So will Judah now say, okay, brothers, let's leave Benjamin and come back? But Judah's intercession on Benjamin's behalf shows that he passed Joseph's test. Verse 18, then Judah came near unto him, unto Joseph. Now he came near unto him. So that means he was some distance away from Joseph before, but now Judah, in a sense, leaves his brothers, and he steps forward to be closer to Joseph. So he's now closer to Joseph, asking to speak directly to him, but also he doesn't want Joseph to get angry, all right? Because he came near unto him. Remember, he's still speaking with an interpreter. All right, keep that in mind. All right? So he says, can I come near? You know, I'm going to talk personally there. And he's given permission to do so. And then he says, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears. In other words, I want to have a personal conversation with you. And let not thine anger burn against thy servant. So that's why I say that without Joseph getting angry, please don't become angry that I want to talk to you personally here, because I recognize that thou art even as Pharaoh. So by saying thou art even as Pharaoh, he's recognizing Joseph's authority. You know, because remember, Joseph was the second in the kingdom now. So Pharaoh was number one, Joseph was number two. So he recognizes that thou art even as Pharaoh. You have that authority. You're the ruler. You know, who am I? You know, I'm bowing down for you. So he sees that. And then he is obviously given permission to talk. And for the next 10 verses or so, 19 through 29, Judah now recounts the whole story. So he goes through everything that has happened from their first visit on till now their second visit. Because if you look at it, you know, he goes back now thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servants, saying, have ye a father or a brother? Remember, the first time we were here, you asked us, do you still have a father? Is your father still living? Do you have any other brothers? Well, we can look back and say, you know, yeah, of course, Joseph wanted to find out if his father was still living, if his younger brother was still living, because they had no clue. You know, they certainly didn't know about that. But so Judah is now recounting that, how Joseph asked about their father, because you know, Jacob wasn't happy. Why did you tell him that you still have a younger brother? You know, why did you keep quiet about it? And, well, they didn't have any choice in the matter because he specifically asked, do you still have a younger brother? You know, is your father still living? So, my Lord, meaning Joseph, asked his servants, meaning us, have ye a father or a brother? And, well, we said unto my Lord, we told you exactly what. We have a father, an old man. Well, certainly he would be an old man at this point, and a child of his old age. All right, there's still another child, a little one. All right, so he's still young, and his brother is dead. You know, you are dead. You know, that's what you know they're saying. So. And his brother is dead, not realizing that the one that they thought was dead was standing there right in front of them, you know, or sitting right in front of them, probably. And he alone is left of his mother. Benjamin is the only one left of his mother, you know, because the other brother, Joseph, is gone. He's no longer. And his father loveth him because he was the son of his favorite wife. You know, so we see that. That's why he's recounting all this. And thou saidst unto thy servant. So he again referred what Joseph had said to them during that first time that they were in Egypt. Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. You know, I want you to bring that younger brother here. I think you're spies. Yeah, that's right, you're spies. No, we're not. Well, prove it to me by bringing the younger brother. And if you bring your younger brother, then I know that you're telling the truth. So you said that I must set my eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, you know, we told you back then already, the lad, the young man, the boy, cannot leave his father. For if he should leave his father would die. You know, it's got two children by his favorite wife. One is dead already, and if something should happen to the other one, well, his father will die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, so we said, no, he can't come because his father would die. But you said, you know, remember? Do you remember? I'm sure you remember. Except your youngest brother come down with you, you shall see my face no more. Well, that's all that happened there. So, unless you bring that young brother, you won't see me again. And he went home, and it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. So we told our father exactly what you had said. And our father said, after they had been back for some time, go and buy us a little food. So our father wanted us again to go back here to Egypt and to buy food. But we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. So we told our father exactly what you had said us. Dad, we'd like to go to Egypt by all means, but we must take Benjamin with us. Because the man told us, the man, Joseph, the man said, you're not going to see my face unless your youngest brother is with you. Well, my servant, my father said unto us, you know that my wife bare me two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. All right? And the one went out from me, he's gone, that's Joseph. And I said, surely he is torn in pieces. And I saw him not since. So this is now Jacob speaking, as the brothers recounts the story. He's torn in pieces, yeah, because that's how the brothers presented it. They took his coat of many colors, they dipped it in blood after they killed a goat, and they put blood all over it and said, Dad, look what we found. You know, the bloody coat here. I think you recognize that is Joseph, so I'm sure he's dead. You know, so they were referring to all that. And if you take this also from me, that is this one, the other boy, Benjamin, if you take him and mischief befall him, if anything should happen to him, you shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. If anything happens to Benjamin, I'm going to die. I can't take it anymore. Just too much. You know, I've lost my one son already, and now my other son, no. I can't have it. So here, Judah speaks then, relating the whole story, beginning with Joseph's question and ending with Jacob saying that if anything should happen to Benjamin, that it would be Jacob's death. And then the remainder of the chapter recounts the offer that Judah had made to Jacob, because Judah now also, you know, comes in. Earlier, remember, you know, Reuben even had said, oh, if anything happened to you, you kill my sons. You know, that's no help. But Judah ultimately comes in and says, I will personally be a guarantee. So We see that now. Now therefore, verse 30, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, so when I come to my father, and if my youngest brother, Benjamin, is not with us, well, his life is bound up in the lad's life. He's already said that. If anything should happen to Benjamin, well, then I'm going to die. You know, I can't take it. So it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. So verse 31 there. So if Benjamin is not there, Jacob will die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. So here he indicates that, you know, points out the danger. If Benjamin does not come home, our father will die. That's simple. You know, so, for thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. So, now this is what Judah's commitment is. So Judah says very clearly, I personally have guaranteed everything for our younger brother. I said to my father, I became surety for the lad. I became surety for Benjamin. If I bring him not back to you, I will take the blame. So, if not, you know, kill my brother, kill my sons or anything like that, but I will personally be responsible. I shall bear the blame to my father forever. So, it's at that point then that Judah makes an offer to Joseph. Alright? He says, verse 33, now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. So, now, it was at Judah's suggestion that Joseph was sold as a slave. We just now looked at chapter 37. But it was Judah who said, no use killing him. Let's sell him. You know. And now, he is willing to become a slave as a substitute for Benjamin. So, you see a real change there in Judah, and for that matter, also in the other brothers. You know, there's a feeling has totally changed. When it came to Joseph, who is this dreamer? Let's see what becomes of his dreams. Let's throw him in that well, you know. Let's kill him. Let's sell him to Egypt. So, all this. But now, Judah is actually willing to become a slave. To take Benjamin's part, or to take Benjamin's place. So this certainly shows how much Judah had changed since they had sold Joseph. Earlier, they were jealous, you know, because of the way Jacob had treated Joseph. He'd given him that coat of many colors. You know, Joseph was always the favorite son, and they did not like it. Now, of course, on top of that, you had Joseph's dreams, you know, where the brothers were, and even the father or the mother, were bowing down to Joseph. And they didn't like it. They were jealous. But now, you know, they have changed. He was no longer jealous of Benjamin's special relationship to Jacob. And then Judah, of course, in verse 34, gives his reason. How shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. In other words, returning without Benjamin would kill the father. And I'm not going to have that. So I would rather be that I become the slave as Judah. but please let him go. All right? So there's three observations that we can make concerning the brothers as we look at the overall picture here. First of all, you see it in the attitude. There's no longer the jealousy. You know, why is he receiving this special treatment? You know, so they have clearly repented of the sin of selling Joseph. So that's certainly the first thing that we can see here. Secondly, they show a clear concern for their father. There's a concern for his physical health, a concern for his emotional health, you know, concern that if anything should happen to Benjamin, our father will die, he'll die of a broken heart, you know. So, obviously, they have not been concerned about Jacob when they sold Joseph. You know, they said, oh, we'll just take this cloth, you know, and dip it in blood, and we'll show it to our father. They didn't worry about their father's reaction at that point. But now they have changed. They are concerned about their father. So, and then also, they showed a special concern for their brother. That is, of course, Benjamin. And we might say he is a half-brother. So now they're concerned about him. So you see a real change on the part of the brothers. But it took a long time for them to reach that point. But it was test after test, in a sense, that Joseph gave them. You know, you're five. No, we're not, you know. Well, prove it. Bring your younger brother here. Well, you know, they could have gone back and forth right away, but, you know, Joseph was there waiting. You know, when are they going to come back? Well, in the meantime, Jacob said, no, you can't take Benjamin. You know, I'm going to die if anything happens to him. And finally, there's no choice, there's no food, so they must go, you know. Then, so they finally, they come back, and Joseph keeps testing the brothers. And then now he puts the cup in Joseph's sack, you know, and they found out. They really have nothing to say. You know, the evidence is there. You know, it was planted evidence, we know that. But still, how can you defend it? I didn't do it. Well, I found the cup in his sack. So you see how the brothers have really been tested. And even now, no. If you all go back to your father, I'll just keep the one that is guilty here. But they're not willing to let that happen. Because now they're concerned about their father. So, they have obviously repented of the sin of selling Joseph. They have a clear concern now also for their father Jacob, which they did not have when they sold Joseph. And also they have a concern for their brother Benjamin. Well, it is at this point then that Joseph finds he can no longer, you know, control himself. And as we come to chapter 45, we'll look at that chapter starting next week. We won't start on that today. But we read, Joseph could not refrain himself before all them. So quickly says, everybody out. And Joseph made himself at that point then known to his brothers. But that we'll look at next week. So we'll stop here for today. I know it's a few minutes early, but rather than starting a new chapter, we'll start there next week.
Father, we thank you.